He's not coming. Coming from where? So, he needs to be taught how to respond. Amen? He needs to be taught how to respond. Remember, James said we need to be taught how to receive. James 1:5. If any lack wisdom, let him ask of God. He says, who gives to all men liberally, but does not find fault? But he says, let him ask him faith. Not in wavering. Let him ask him faith. You know, he that wavers is like the wave of the sea, tossed, no, throw. The Bible says, such a man is unstable in all his ways. Let not such a man think he will receive. He will receive. So many believers need to be taught how to receive. For example, many people think receiving means to sit down and wait for the thing to land on your head like a bird. Mm-mm. The word receive is a Greek word, lambano. It means to take from. In fact, a version which I think is too strong says to seize. Mark 11:24. I think I've forgotten the version. It says, what things ever you believe when you pray, believe whatever you desire when you pray, believe that you take it, seize it, and then you shall have. I think that's too strong. But basically, because the word lambano means to take from. Praise God. There's a way to respond. We're going to see that shortly. You take from. Just like, you know, salvation, as many as received him. You know, you took some. You took the gospel. You did something. You responded. Hallelujah. How do you respond? Romans 10:8. The word is nigh thee, in your mouth, in your heart. That is the word of faith that we preach. If you will what? Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart. That means you did something to receive. Thou shalt be saved. With the heart man believes unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made. So that receiving is not like waiting. Well, you know, when I receive a text on my phone, I'm doing nothing. I just see, particularly some texts that say, you can win 1 billion naira in 24 minutes. Or warranted ones. What? To receive means you will stretch out your hand and take. You believe with your heart and say with your mouth, then you are saved. You need to learn how to receive. You need to learn how to respond. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. I remember my first time in the Holy Ghost meeting was 1992. My friend, he's gone to be the Lord now. We used to call him Pope. The Pope. Because we used to have a group. We believed that we were... Don't let me tell you. Some of you know the story. So he was the Pope. We had a friend called Bishop. I was called Good Shepherd or Senior Shepherd. Lord have mercy. So, he organized that meeting and I saw the things of his, and I was looking. Oh my God. I was dull, dark. I was like, huh? Yeah? As many as watched today, he gave the power. Hallelujah. So he turned to me. No, that was the second time. He said, Anoika, what are you doing? Hallelujah. So I was laughing in the spirit and I was going, And I was to go, glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I was just, because I came from a religious background where church service was like a cemetery. On the last day, only truth. Those that sing those songs never say, I'm a true believer. It's only true. What about you? Are you not a true believer? I was talking to a Calvinist yesterday. I said, I like your doctrine. Only you are the elect. That's a good doctrine, you know. It favors us. We are the elect. Ridiculous. Amen. I told a Calvinist one time, I said, it is not the will of God that I be convinced to believe what you are saying. It is not the will of God that I be convinced to. So leave me, if it is the will of God, I will be convinced. Irresistible grace. I've resisted this one. Are you still there? What is wrong with you now? Come on. So you respond. Amen. We're going to do that tonight. But let's just have some word. Matthew 16. Brother Hagin said, in the Holy Ghost meeting, the word must be put first place. Hallelujah. Brother Hagin taught us Holy Ghost meeting. Amen. The original one. The original one. Not the made in Taiwan. The original one. Hallelujah. Matthew 16. Whom the man said that I, the Son of Man, am? And he said in verse 15, who do you say that I am? Then Simon Peter responded and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now we've shared that already. But look at something in 17. Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. Now we said, the Father reveals Jesus, he reveals the Son. And in the revelation of Jesus, you see yourself. And we said, the only person that can tell you who you are is Jesus. Not even your doctor. Not even your pastor may get it wrong sometimes. You know, sometimes pastors can get angry. You pastors, you know, you can get really angry. I even doubt that you are saved. When you are really angry, your assistant pastor say, I doubt that you are even born again. It's not in your hands. There's only one shepherd. Praise God. So, watch this. He says, blessed are you. Then he turned. I say unto you, Peter, upon this rock I will build my church. And the gates of Hades, the gates of death, shall not prevail against it. Beautiful. And I'll give to you, hallelujah, the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And what things soever you bind where on earth is bound where? In heaven. What things soever you lose where? On earth. He's loosed in heaven. In other words, whatever you permit is permitted. Whatever you decide not to permit is not permitted. Praise God. Pay attention now. Then we said in the morning, Jesus is referring to access. So we have access. Say, I have access. Not just I have access, I am in already. I'm in the kingdom. John 3:3. Except a man is born again, he cannot see. John 3:5. If you are born of the Spirit, you have entered. Say, I have entered. Remember one guy, he was driving, and he said, this world is not my home. I am just passing through. And he's singing that song. And then a trailer passed by. And just the presence of the trailer, the big truck, his car waited on the side. Bah, 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 bah. Ah! As he got back on the road, he said, this world is beautiful. He changed his confession. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. We are in the kingdom now. Righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God. Don't you want to be? You say, which kingdom? I don't want to be a part of that kingdom. Because I'm in this kingdom already. Hallelujah.
Colossians 1:12, giving thanks to the Father who has made us qualified to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Hallelujah. We are there now. God, who quickened us together with Christ. You know, Ephesians 1 says, he says, the exceeding greatness of his power to all who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead, and sent him as a right hand in heavenly places, power of all praise, power, and power, might, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but in that which is to come. He has put all things under his feet, gave all things to the church, his body, the fullness of him that filleth in all. And you, who were dead in trespasses and sins, who walk according to the course of this world, the power of the air, that walk in the tree of disobedience, among whom we all had our conversation time past, through the other friend of mine, and were by nature children of wrath, even as unto others. But God, who is rich in mercy, with which great love which he has loved us, he has quickened us together with Christ, and made us sit together with Christ in the heavenly places. Oh, glory, glory, glory. We are there now. We are there now! Listen to me. Where you are is where you'll be till eternity. Get used to this, oh. The Father is not coming out, oh. Get used to this, oh. See, we are not moving from the spirit to the senses. We have left that level. We have left that level. We don't go to the Father. We don't see the Father. We know. Oh my God. Did you get what I just said? It's coming to the I will see your face. You wait forever. We have left the senses. We have left the senses. We know. We know. In that day you will know. That I am in you, you are in me, and the Father is in me. You will know. And that day doesn't end. This is the day. This is the day. This is the day. He's not in an handkerchief. He's not in coconut. He's not in candles. No, he's not in a bottle of oil. Whether it's from Israel or it's from Saudi Arabia. He's not in any bottle. The Father is in me. No way. Sit down 1 minute, come on. Woo! Woo! Sit down, let me preach. Behave yourself. Behave yourself. Woo! Wow! Sit down, come on. I command you in the name of Jesus. Sit down. Woo! Hold on. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Ha ha. Ha ha ha. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. That growth has disappeared. That growth has disappeared. Check it, it's not there again. Oh, oh, oh. Oh, oh, oh. Woo! 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 Yay! 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 Woo! Woo! Check your body, the disease is gone. The pain is gone. Come on, respond, respond, the pain is gone. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Woo! Glory, glory. Thank you. You know Paul? Paul is a person. Hold on 1 minute. Paul is a person of emphasis. He said, rejoice again. Woo! Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Woo! Again! 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 Woo! He said, rejoice. It depends on how you read it. You can have the comma before the again or after. But let's put the comma after the again. Every time you read it, it will say, rejoice again. If you look at it again, rejoice again. Woo! Glory! Woo! Glory to God! Glory to God! Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Something is happening now, and it is boldness. Amen. There's no way to be bold but to be bold. Boldness is not passive. It's active. Listen now. Boldness is first of all how you speak. So we're going to do two things. We're still going to hear some word. But the Holy Ghost interrupted my sermon. While Peter yet spoke. Interrupted my sermon. But it's okay. I'm a gentleman. Now, the first boldness is you are going to address situations. Listen now. Let's be intelligent with the things of the Spirit. We have boldness now. Boldness is not to God. No. It's towards situations. Towards the devil. And everything tied to the devil. So you are going to do that now. You are going to address something in your heart now with boldness. Boldness. You are going to say something that you could not have said in the natural. Hold on, hold on. Don't forget. Something that your logic could never have said it. So you will talk in tongues briefly. Then you will say something that will come to pass. And put a date to it. Follow me now. Listen. 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 Hold on. You put a date to it.
Immediately is a date. Now is a date. Right now is a date. Praise God. And when you do that, you now respond like someone who has the victory. You respond that way. Let's be intelligent. Let's be intelligent. We have a couple of things to do tonight. Let's be intelligent. You will respond that way. Amen. Now, our responses doesn't have to be the same. Praise God. Praise God. So we'll talk in tongues. And then something will drop in your mind that you will say boldly. Boldly, you will dare something now. Amen. I don't know what it is for you. You will dare it and then you say it. Then it will come to pass. Let's go ahead. Just talk in tongues. Go ahead. Come on. Come on. Dare to say something. Dare to say something. Go ahead. Be bold. You are bold. Say it. Now act on what you have said. Act on what you have said. Act on what you have said. Yes. Act on what you have said. Act on what you have said. Hallelujah. Glory. Amen. Now, we said we're going to do two things. Two things. Before we sit down. We are still going to teach, then we'll come back to this. Amen. You know, we control this realm. We are not carried away by anything. We are the ones carrying things. Hallelujah. Now, listen to me. Another boldness is boldness to speak God's counsel. And you're going to do that to someone around you. Someone say, but what am I going to say? Don't ask that question again. The minute you ask that question, you step into doubt. He gave us utterance. Utterance means the ability to say something. So that means I will always have something to say. Supernaturally. Amen. You know you are bold. Say I'm bold. Say I'm bold. Say I'm bold. Find a neighbor of yours and speak by the Spirit boldly. Boldly. Find someone around you. Speak by the same way you spoke. You talked in tongues, then said something. Find someone around you and say something boldly by the Holy Ghost. Boldly. You can lay hands on that person. You can lay hands on the sick. Do it. Do it. Put your hands on that pain now. Don't wait. Don't wait. Put your hands on that pain. Yes. Lay your hands on that person's neck. Yeah, the neck. The neck. Put your hands on the pain. It's gone. Put your hands on the ulcer pain. Put your hands. Yes, yes. Yeah, do it. Put your hands on that person. 1 minute more, sir, rounding up. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 We're not done. We're not done. Glory, glory. Glory, glory. We're going to do a couple of things. Just wait. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. You know, there's something that recalls in my heart now, and I want to tell you. Many of us, listen to me. Many of us, we don't know that we have a supernatural ministry of laying on of hands. Hold on, hold on, hold on. Listen, 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 listen. Listen to what I'm about to say. I'm not talking about some people, though. I said everybody who has believed the gospel. Everyone. You have a supernatural ministry of laying on of hands. Such that, now, let me explain. Laying hands does not have to be putting hands on people's head. It could just be a touch. Like this. He says you will lay hands. He said, in my name. That means, in the authority of the believer, is the use of his hands. In the authority of the believer. One of the ways to use your authority as a believer is your hands. That is your authority as a believer. You know the way a soldier may use his gun? Your own, your hands. Yes, your words, but also your hands. Amen. Don't use your hand to call pastor to come and pray for the person. He doesn't say in my name, you use your hand to pick the phone and call your pastor. I told you, those who have to call their pastor to pray for people is sin consciousness that is your problem. Amen. You will lay hands by yourself. Hey, listen. And the same workings of the Spirit will be seen. You see? Praise God. Now, don't switch off. Praise God. Don't switch off. Amen. You know, we can organize the things of the Spirit. Because it's our realm. We can organize it. See, it's going like this, then it's going this way. Amen. You sit down for a few minutes. Cool down. Hallelujah. Amen. Cool down. Praise God. We want to see some things. Now be quiet.
Observe. Look at what we have been learning since last night. Praise God. Let's talk in tongues some. You know, talk in tongues some. Yep. Some. Talk in tongues some. Amen. You know, as I'm teaching, you can be talking in tongues quietly. As long as you're not making noise and you're concentrating. You can do that, right? We can be intelligent about the things of the Spirit. You know, it's people under the law that will do gra-gra. We can be intelligent. That's why Paul could give instructions. Say, do this at this time. Do this at that time. That means we can be intelligent. Hallelujah. So I'm intelligent with the things of the Spirit. I'm an expert. See, you went quiet. See, I'm an expert. I know how to do these things. I'm an expert. This is my realm. I'm at home in these things. Wake me up at any time, I will flow. We don't prepare for these things. Nobody prepares to breathe. It's our realm. We play music to flow. For what? Hallelujah. This is our realm. Hallelujah. How many of you received healing just now? Raise your hand if you did. Praise God. Just now. Praise God. You know, it is in the Old Testament that you wait for Moses. Here, the gifts of the Spirit are working in our midst. The pastor's role is to put your attention on it. Hallelujah. Not to become Superman. Everybody is now coming to come and meet the man of God or the God of man. Because it's when you come together and every one of you. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. We're going to see something. Now, look at what we are doing. Let's be intelligent. There's something I want you to understand tonight, so we'll continue tomorrow. Amen. Get the one for tonight. So we leave the one for tomorrow till tomorrow. You know, it's our realm. We'll postpone something next year. It's possible. We'll say, this one, let's try it in 2019. We hold on. Don't let's enter this one yet. Amen. It's our realm. It's a realm. Amen. The things of the spirit are first a nature before they are an experience. They are first your nature before they become an experience. Many of us are used to the experience and we forget that these things are natural to us. Amen. Amen. Do you know, some people believe that sin is natural to them. But I don't believe doing right is natural. Whereas sin is the one that is not natural. Doing right is the one that is natural. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, what did Jesus say? In our family, there are many. Now, do your translation now. Put King James aside. Let King James read it for himself. Let's read the one that we understand. In our family, because the Father is our Father. I believe not your family. So we can say, in our family, we are many temples. That means individually, we are temples. The characteristic of this family, the sole name of this family is that everybody is an habitation of God. If God is not in you, you are not in our family. If it is sin that is in you, you are not in our family. If the old man is still in you, you are not in our family. In fact, if the older man is in you, you are not in our family. The only way you can be in our family is if the Father is in you. Say, the Father is in me. Now, Jesus now said something. I will pray the Father, John 14:16. He will send another comforter that he may abide with you forever. He now used the term, even the spirit of truth. John 14:17. Now, always read scriptures intelligently. The spirit of truth, what did he mean? He was discussing something. That in that day, I will be in you, you will be in me. Where I am, there you'll be also. He now said the spirit of that reality. That means what Jesus said is a reality where? In the spirit. So the spirit is the reality. That is, if you want to find the fulfillment of what he just said, you will see it in the spirit. And he says, you will abide with us forever. Now listen to this. There's something about the incarnation of Jesus that we should learn from. Please, let's get this clear. In the incarnation of Jesus, Paul used two words in the Greek that is so, so instructive. He says he emptied himself. In Philippians 2:6-7, the word kenosis, that is, he became absent in one realm. Let me explain to you. He's functioning in a way. Then he emptied himself. That means when we look back at how he was, you won't find him that way again. Because kenosis means when you look here, it will be empty. So that means the way the Father was, where he was, before Jesus came, you won't find that state again. Then he says, Paul used the word catabasis, that the fact that he descended, in other words, He switched how he was. Do you know that when Jesus was talking about the indwelling, he used the word forever. That means many things changed in redemption. Many things. Where the Father was, or where he is, changed to his eternal abode. So, the descent of Jesus, the Word that became flesh, is on his own instructive. Do you know that while we see it as descending, as though he will now change later, Scripture says, he will remain like that forever. Now, let's learn something from that. Do you know that the Old Testament, with all the glory that they had, everything, not one of those things could explain God. And the clearest explanation of God that we found is in a man. So it is not actually a descent. Like, okay, he lowered himself. In as much as that is what it appears, but is actually revealing himself. Listen to this now. So, listen. That incarnation says something to us about God. You know, David asked the question, what is man that you are mindful? And then he began to say, can't you see the stars? The works of your hand. What is man that you are mindful of him? Nor the son of man that you visit him. He left that question hanging. The writer of Hebrews says, we don't see all things under his feet, but we see Jesus. We see Jesus. The mindfulness of God, that is the thoughts of God. The word mindful means something that is filling your thoughts, is God in man. What is in all the thoughts of God in the Old Testament is God in man. Not God a man. God in man. So that incarnation says something to us. You know, we are saying that we should stop having an Old Testament temple mentality where we are going to him. God does not visit us. He inhabits us. Because that is the lesson of this day. So as you are seated, let your thoughts continually feed on the fact that the way you are is where God is. I asked you a question, maybe I'll approach it later. I said, where is it in the entire Bible that when a believer dies, he goes to heaven? There's not one verse. One, like this. Not one. Because in salvation, he is there. The issue with many of us is we think heaven is a distance. Whereas Jesus said, it is here. See, you're still looking. It's here. We are in the kingdom now. But just like the Jews, you are looking for heaven by observation. That is, if it is here, we should see clouds. You see angels descending and ascending. And then a throne in the middle. Then clouds all over the place. The whole place is white with a gate. And then a big book looking for people who go to hell and heaven. I believe the gospel. I'm seated in heaven now. See, heaven is here now. He said it slowly. No, this destroys. I want to make heaven. Go and make it in a factory. We are seated there now. Now. So that means all the resources are with us. Hallelujah. Follow this now. So Jesus made himself void. He emptied himself. Listen now. And the Bible says, he became a man. And God highly exalted him and gave him a name. Notice that. A name. Now we said a name is not a spelling. A name is a position. So that position, what does that position say? Colossians 2, 9 says, in him dwelleth the fullness. Now, whenever you use the word fullness, that means you won't see it elsewhere. Am I right? If it is fullness here, that means you won't find excess or outstanding somewhere. So that means in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead. Then you use the word bodily in his person. The next verse now says, and you, that's the part our mind begins to trouble us. I agree with the first one you said. And you, then you look around you. You just came out from deliverance class. You just ate bread and wine, eating the blood of Jesus and his body. You just did all the ceremonies, and it says, and you are complete in him. Say, I am complete in him. Now watch this. So that descent into humanity, is it figurative or literal? Huh? One. Is it temporary or permanent? Very good. So the spirit of that reality is where? Is in us. Paul writing like this, Romans 8, 9. You are not in the flesh. How about saying that to yourself? No. I want you to say, I am not in the flesh. You are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be that the spirit of Christ, of God, dwells in you, if any has not the spirit of Christ, he is none of us. But if Christ be in you, the body is dead to sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. And he, the spirit of him, that raised up Christ from the dead, dwells in you. He that raised up Christ shall quicken your own mortal bodies by his spirit that dwells in you. See, we are debtors not to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the spirit multiply the deeds of the body, that salvation, you shall live. For as many as are led by the spirit. How are you led? You were led from the flesh into the spirit. As many as were taken from the flesh into the spirit, we are the sons of God. Verse 15 says, we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but the spirit of adoption, the spirit of sons. Hereby, what happens? We cry, Abba, Father. Notice, we don't say, oh, Almighty God. All those things. All those chieftaincy titles. We don't say those things. We say what? Abba, Father. Because if the spirit says something else, it cannot be the spirit of truth. The spirit of truth has to evidence that it is the Father that lives in us. So, if the spirit of truth is in you, what will be his testimony? Abba, Father. Oh, hallelujah. Because Jesus said, in that day, you will know that I am in the Father. The Father is in me, and I am in you. So, if he gave us the spirit of that reality, what would that spirit say? Abba, Father. So the Father manifest is the believer. I am the Father manifest. We don't go to the Father. We don't see. There is no distance to the Father. The minute there is a distance, we are not in this family. In this family, we are not like this to the Father. It's not even we are so close. No, we are not close. In this family, the Father is in. You know, there are some families, the way you know them is their tribal mark. In our own family, when we go and do DNA, and we see that the Father is in a temple, we are not in our family. If we go and do DNA, and the Father still comes to you, we know you are not born again. But when we check your DNA, and we look closely, the Father is in. You are one of us. Hallelujah. You are one of us. So, it is a reality. Pay attention. We are many temples. Don't your neighbor say you are a temple. I am a temple. Every temple has the same capacity. Because the temples were not built in 4 flats, 6 flats. It is the same temple. Now listen to this. In the Old Testament, the temple that Moses asked them to build, that David also, Solomon built, the Bible says that by the reason of praise, one time, and the glory of God filled the temple. And the priests could not stand to minister. Now you and I can say, that's the Old Testament. No. The fact I want you to see is that the temple had a glory. That is, what does glory mean? Glory means the wealth or a display of strength. That means, listen to this, there is the glory of this house. That you and I must know how to walk in. The president of Nigeria now has his own glory, such that he gives instructions and people obey. That is glory. This house has its own glory. And listen very well. In Acts 2, observe something. In Acts 2, I said it in church on Sunday, 2 Sundays ago, that when the day of Pentecost was fully come, did you observe that everybody functioned the same way? Everybody. In fact, Luke picked his words. He said they were all. If you observe from verse 1 to 4, he used that emphasis so well, so you won't be confused. He said, in the place where they were all seated, and there came from heaven a sound of a mighty rushing wind, and it filled all the house where they were seated. And there appeared unto them, all of them, cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each. In case you see, upon each. So I say each. It reminds me of when Moses, in Numbers 11, he was asked to pick 70 elders that will take the spirit upon him and put it upon them. And 2 of them were not in the tabernacle. And the 2 of them were prophesying outside the tabernacle. And Joshua, as pastor's son, ran to Moses, master, there are 2 people there. They are prophesying and they are not in the tabernacle. Moses said, don't stop them. If God will want it, he wants all his people to be prophets. My. And you say, Moses is not preaching gospel. What other gospel do you want to have? Say, everybody. I see. So God wants everyone to be. So what happens? I'll tell you. He wants everyone to function in the things of the Spirit. What happens? What's happening to some of you now? Is this doctrine true? Unbelief is not a big thing. It's a subtle thought in your mind. That's how I will give word of knowledge. The person will say, it's not so. I'll go and lay hands. And I'll say, do what you cannot do before. I can't even do it at all. The first healing service I organized in my life, all the people I laid hands went to the hospital. No, I was looking for testimony, so I kept asking. Maybe at least one will say, it's going down small, small. All of them said, I have to go on. I told myself, the first healing service, and I prayed. I've seen it in the spirit that as I lay hands like this, all of them, hallelujah, praise God. But you know, you get better. If you know something belongs to you, you don't give up. You say, this one is my own. I'm just learning how to use it. But I will drop it. Leave that thing. I won't drop it. Hallelujah. We cannot give up. We have not learned it from our Father. Even his angels, small boys, we don't give up. So on the day of Pentecost, everybody saw something, everybody heard something, and everybody said something. That can happen now. Now. You know, Peter says something unique in Acts 11. He said the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. Now, do you know he was at Samaria? So he knew what happened at Samaria. But there was something unique about this one. At the beginning. You know what it was? I'll tell you shortly. Two things make Acts 2 and Acts 10 similar. It was the spontaneous reaction of the people. You know, in Acts 2, you hear suddenly. It's not, the suddenly didn't come from God or the Holy Ghost. The suddenly is the spontaneous reaction of the folk. They knew how to receive. In the house of Cornelius, they knew how to receive. In the two occasions, no minister was responsible for how they responded. You are looking at me. No minister, nobody was responsible for how they responded. Now listen. So something about the things of the Spirit, look up now, is how you respond. How you respond in an orderly fashion, but in a spontaneous way. We don't prepare to respond. We respond by faith. Hallelujah. We respond by faith. Now, what are the things that we respond to? We respond to utterance. Every time we act like that, there's utterance. We respond to utterance. You know, we also respond to visions and revelation. Amen. We respond to visions and revelation. We also respond by singing. Paul says, how is it then? I will pray with tongues and I will sing with tongues. Let me tell you something. Your spirit is a singing spirit. Do you know, having a choir or music team is not bad. But you see, in the epistles, the singing ought to be done by all of us. Colossians 3:16. Let the utterance of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing. So say singing. Now, that means every believer should be singing. Zephaniah 3:17 says, the Lord our God, he's mighty, he to save. He says he will rejoice over us with singing. Hallelujah. In Hebrews 2, talking about Jesus, he said, I will sing your name.
in the midst of the congregation. See, the spirit that we have received is a singing spirit. We sing in tongues spontaneously. Spontaneously. Also, we pray spontaneously. We pray in the spirit. We see things in the spirit. We say things in the spirit. So say, how do I get in the spirit? You don't have to get in the spirit. That's where you are. Hallelujah. Is what should I do? Is what you should say. Not how do I get. You are there now. Hallelujah. Now, how many of you have gotten people filled with the Holy Ghost before? I know many of you. Let me see your hand. Do you know that? The issue was not that you were giving them the Holy Ghost. Do you know they could have spoken without you? So, what will now make somebody wait for 10 years? Throughout the 10 years, what he did, the day he spoke in tongues, you'll have done it 10 years ago. That is the same way we ought to flow with the Spirit. Many times is the things that are in our mind, or things that you are taught. Charles Calf said this. He said, God's word is so simple. You need someone to help you to misunderstand it. It's so simple. Someone will help you misunderstand it. So, now watch this. So, spontaneously, we can flow with the Spirit. Now, look at a few minutes ago. We'll go back to what we're doing before. Some of us here began to laugh. We laughed here. Do you notice that the real issue was your response? There was nothing to prepare about. Those who didn't laugh is something in their mind. If it was a joke, they would have laughed. You get my point? If it was one of these comedians, they would have laughed. The reason why a man would be in a meeting and then believer, because everybody knows, even an atheist knows that laughter is joy. So if Paul says rejoice, what did he mean? Listen to me. This is as good as this is. Father, I thank you. That's not rejoicing. That's thanksgiving. As good as you say, Father, I give you praise. You are smiling. That's not joy. Joy is an action. Because now in Luke 10:21, somebody was telling me one time, he said, all this Holy Ghost meeting. He said, all these young, exuberant boys and girls. I said, come here. I almost said, old fool. Come here. Some guys think they're just old. Old for nothing. I said, come. Who is your Savior? He said, Jesus. Are you sure? Luke 10:21. In that hour, Jesus, the exuberant undergraduate, rejoiced in the Spirit. He said, let me show you one more. Acts 16. The jailer. You know, he has children. So he was not in primary school. She rejoiced. Was looking at me. I said, so you are the one that is exuberant. If somebody is praying beside you and you hold the hand and you pray together, is it an act of your will? Eh? You know, we wouldn't know how to say sorry to people. Somebody is saying, I'm feeling bad. I say, oh. And then someone is rejoicing and you are looking. Something is wrong with you. Someone said, but why are we laughing? That's a stupid question. It's like saying, why are we joyful? Why are you joyful all the time? Because I'm born again. Hold on, I want to teach you something. Some people have taught this joy in a way that is not biblical. That you rejoice so that God will do something. That when you pray, you now begin to rejoice. Begin to rejoice. So that God will say, you are rejoicing. No. Rejoicing is a function of who we are. That is why somebody will get born again in Acts 16, the jailer. And the first sign of salvation is that he was rejoicing. Hallelujah. No drum set. No keyboard. No para para.
but there was the Holy Ghost. So we are about to do some spontaneous things.
No, sit down. We want to build up for tomorrow, so sit down. We'll build up.
Now, we can be spontaneous. Watch this. We can be spontaneous. It means that we know how to respond. How do we respond? Now, on the day of Pentecost, they knew. When we're in a place, I just get a hold of what is happening around me. That's how they all did the same thing. For example, he is praying in tongues. I just pray in tongues. That's responding. He is rejoicing. I just rejoice. That's responding. He's singing in the spirit. I sing in the spirit. That is responding. I don't need to be told what is happening. What he's doing is in my realm. Let me add one more. If you minister to me by the word of knowledge, you know what it is? I will receive, but it also stirs up the same in me. Do you know that Jesus did not take his disciples to any healing school? Just by looking at him, they could heal the sick. That's all. He didn't take them through and say, you know what, Peter, you lay hands like this, you lay hands. No. Just by observing, things around you know how to respond. Hallelujah. Do you know? It's the same thing with visions and revelation. Same thing. In 1994, I was in one meeting. And, you know, it was not a Holy Ghost meeting, but eventually it became like a meeting. There were demonstrations. And so I saw the man laying hands. And I opened my eyes. Ah, wow. I said, wow. It was the first time in my... So as he was speaking, he now gave a word of knowledge. I said, wow. Now listen carefully. As he said that, I heard it was the first time in my life I would hear an audible voice that way. And I heard, shut your eyes. It was audible. You know why? Because the word of knowledge was in the atmosphere. And there was revelation gifts. So, as that happened, I could hear. And I shut my eyes. And as I shut my eyes, I saw a vision. Unprepared for before. But by shutting my eyes, I was responding to something. You need to know how to respond. Listen to this. Do you know the one that is the easiest of all is to speak? Always start with the one that is the easiest. Because either way, you are in the spirit. Hallelujah. You know, we can respond. Sometimes that response is rejoicing. Sometimes it's prayer. Sometimes we're in a meeting like that, and you just sense a burden to pray. If you look around, sometimes it's everybody around you. Who has seen that before? Just everybody around you. And they all. Sometimes it's just quiet. Sometimes it's just for us to give tongues and interpretation. But whichever way it is, you must know how to respond. The difference between meetings, where some meetings seem to have the glory of God in demonstration, it is the function of the people there. If they are well taught, they will flow very well. But when they are not well taught, they will be waiting for something to happen. Meanwhile, they should not wait for something to happen. They should allow things to happen. Hallelujah. Say tonight. I respond.
in the things of the Spirit. I know how to respond. Glory to God. Glory, glory, glory. Glory, glory, glory. Glory, glory, glory. Fucking thumb song. Oh. Robert O'Shea for handy. Oh, yeah. We know how to do this. Oh, we do. Five over. Send that. Tools of Rakido. Fatunda to Satu Prabaki. Hey. It's your response. Mogo. Leite. Zonge Bu Brakati. Lekenonga Dadadu.